you know, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen out there where people have loaded stuff in their cars or trucks and then proceeded to go down the road? Oh, look, on the line, America's police chief. He's no longer Austin's or Miami's or Houston. He's America's police chief, Art Acevedo. Good morning, chief.
Hey, good morning. Did you say experienced or ancient? Which one?
over your years, California Highway Patrol, all those places, what's the weirdest thing you've seen loaded unsafely and proceeding down the highway?
Oh, God. Well, the strangest thing I ever saw was actually watching the space shuttle being moved around in L.A., to a museum. That was a pretty cool road to watch, but that
but they had permits and escorts and everything, I assume.
yeah, but it was a cool thing to see. Craziest thing, God, that's a great question. Actually, you never got to see them because by the time you found them, it was the load was completely spilled or a crash had occurred, and so I can't think of one right off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, that's had a, right,
a mannequin and the right front seat in the HOV lane in L.A.
That's brilliant.
Try to fake out the camera. Huh? Yeah. Hey, I asked Chief if he'd be available for a couple of minutes. Just want to pay tribute to a tremendous human being. But before we get to that, which we'll do in just a second, take advantage of having you on the line as well. Folks are every day going, did you know Art Acevedo lives in Austin again? I said, yeah, I did. I said, you know, for another dollar, I'll give you his address as well. You know,
wow.
How you like being back?
It's great to be back. I mean, the most important part is our 14-year-old son, Jake, is extremely happy to be back with all his old buddies. And so life is good. It's great to be in Austin and great to be in Texas and great to be around friends and family.
And I personally know what it's like to go to school down in Miami. It ain't that great. So, I bet he's a lot happier here.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that he truly was one of the only kids that didn't speak Spanish in his school.
That's the same way when I went there. Funny. Yeah, no, that's why I did so well in high school. I mean, when you're the only kid in speech class that speaks English, you get an A. I'm serious.
You're the straw man for the rest of the. You're the straw man for the rest of the class.
That's right. So, you know what I ask you about is, today's the last day of early voting, and of course it's a couple of state propositions, but you know municipalities have all kinds of things that are very important in Williamson County, Hayes, Del Valle, all kinds of. Propositions also on bond deals, elections for mayor and council members and utility district board members, things like that. Austin has a proposition, Chief, on there to decriminalize marijuana, low-level offenses of marijuana. And wait a minute, that's number one. Number two, in the same proposition, is to tell APD that they must eliminate no-knock warrants. Now, again, that's another example of their chicanery, their shenanigans. You take two very diverse things where there's good reason to be for or against each one of them, and they lump it into one. So, like, if you want marijuana, then you got to vote also yes, because it's in the same dang proposition for no-knock warrants. Now, I don't know how I feel. But I'm going to vote against it simply because I think it is wrong of them to put two things like that together. But I'm interested for those that are going to vote Saturday or maybe today, last day of early voting, what should be our positions? What is your thought on no-knock warrants? Well, and you had one go very bad in Houston, as I recall.
I had one go very bad in Houston with the Harding Street raid where, you know, we, the police department, uncovered the malfeasance, and we, the police department, investigated, and we, the police department, built the case to charge one of the officers involved with murder because he was, you know, he lied on his affidavit. But anyway, I digress. I actually immediately changed the rules to basically say, from an administrative standpoint, our policy, that we would, that to use a no-knock warrant would require authorization from the police chief, but I in essence eliminated them, but kept them because a situation like a hostage rescue, there could be an operational need to because people don't realize that for hostage rescue situations, we actually get warrants. Most SWAT teams will get a warrant just so you don't take any chances on getting anything kicked out when you go charge a suspect. So you have to hold on to the to the ability, if the circumstances merit, to actually use an unlocked warrant. So in essence, I got rid of it, but I did hold on to
the ability when it may, it's like
when you absolutely need it.
Eric shared with us a friend of his who was a police officer in, was it Temple?
He worked in the Temple Belton area. He went to Killeen and knocked on the door and
for a warrant.
For a warrant, they shot through the door. And that was, you know.
And that was a knock warrant.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it just seems to me that there are, I thought it required a court order to do that. It doesn't, huh?
It does. You do have to have a judge's.
Right. So it requires a of course, none of that is in the deal. But what's your reaction to putting that in the same voting proposition as reducing, getting rid of low-level marijuana offenses, period?
I think you nailed it on the head, Bob. That's designed to,
get what they want.
Legalizing marijuana, right?
Because they know that's going to pass big time in Austin.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and it would pass big time in most places, right? Marijuana, that ship has kind of sailed, the decriminalization piece, in a lot of places across the country. But I just think it's a big mistake. I don't think that when you have absolutes, just about everything in life, but just about nothing in life is absolute. And so to say that absolutely should never, ever use a no-knock warrant, I think is a mistake. To say that you're mixing apples and oranges, I think is a mistake. And I would venture to guess that it will pass because most people see that the criminalization of marijuana, the continued criminalization, is probably not the best thing in the world. So. I do agree with you that it was by design, and it's something that's a little bit disingenuous, if you ask me.
Yeah, man, there's an awful lot of that. But the exact opposite of that is somebody you know, and that's thank you for responding to my request. You know very well, and I got to know, by the time I knew Chief David Carter, who we have lost to cancer, and by the way, his visitation and memorial service will be today and tomorrow. And fill you in on that in a second. But by the time I got to know him, he was already pretty ranking at APD. I'm going to say, and this was 25 years ago, he's already a sergeant, lieutenant or something. But he grew with a, 30-some-odd year career. He was your chief of staff. And after he retired, he took the position to be the University of Texas police chief for the last, I don't know, 8 plus 10 years. I can't remember. But he had he totally transformed that department at UT and made it a model, not just for other university police departments, but for municipal police departments. The guy was incredibly driven by doing the right thing all the time. And David Carter is who we're talking about. And one thing, I watched him work on the streets and all. He was a tough cop with incredible compassion. He may have been the best cop I ever watched work. And I never heard him, even in horrific situations, I never heard him use a foul word of language. I don't know that he even cussed. You knew him well.
Yeah, I mean, look, David Carter to me is he's like a brother. It hurts my heart to know he's gone. But knowing the challenge they had and the fight that he waged against cancer for the past 3 years, you know, I'm glad that the good Lord took his wonderful spirit out of his broken body, and he's in a perfect state now. But he was truly the epitome of the professional, compassionate, dedicated, ethical lawman. And it's a huge loss, not just for UT, but not just for his family, but just the entire law enforcement community. And I miss that man so much. I thank God I had the opportunity to spend time with him the last few months, before he became comatose and couldn't respond any further. We were able to connect. And I'm just glad that his beautiful wife, Cynthia, and his daughter, Sarah, are going to put together a celebration along with the men and women of the Austin Police Department and the UT Police Department to really honor his sustained excellence over the last three plus decades. And look forward to visiting tonight and going to the service tomorrow.
Yeah, the visitation is at Cook Walden Forest Oaks, which is down William Cannon and just about there at, Highway 79. And the funeral service tomorrow at 10:30 to noon at the Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd, which is on Windsor Road. That's at 10:30 tomorrow. Again, visitation tonight down south. You know, I was looking over his extremely well-written obituary. There's so many things about him I didn't know. He was a hostage negotiator, a SWAT officer. He was commander over SWAT. He was a homicide investigator. He was the international affairs investigator. He put together city and regional responses for all kinds of things. I mean, he was like he was the go-to guy at Austin Police Department.
I mean, he's a MacGyver, right? He actually went to Los Angeles when I was an assistant chief of the California Highway Patrol, led a delegation to Los Angeles to look at our traffic management efforts at the PMC Traffic Management Center in L.A., where they came back and David helped put that together. And so our Highway Enforcement Command here in Austin is unfortunately because of the budget cuts and, you know, the elimination of academy classes by this current council or the past council, they've had to get rid of the Highway Enforcement Command, which was a model for a lot of municipal police departments. But David was truly a guy that was a visionary. You know, I remember seeing him for the first time when I thought I was going to get this job here in Austin on the internet. You know, I was looking at him at a press conference and I said, this guy is right out of Central Casting. I mean, he
looked the part.
Oh, handsome. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you were in a cast, a lawman, especially a Texas lawman, you cast David Carter.
Yeah, he had that Buford Pusser look, didn't he? Yeah, but but the fairest cop. I mean, integrity and honor and your word. I mean, I was around him enough to know that was 24/7 on that guy.
Yep, and he was just a guy that again, they don't make them like that anymore. I think that David and I had never had a cross word. With all the great people I've had the privilege of working with, no one is better than David Carter. He really was the best. He was a blessing, and again, it's just my heart ached when we knew he was going to be taken. But I have great relief knowing that he went from that broken body and the good Lord took him. And I love his beautiful wife and daughter. They were there for him for 3 years. They fought the good fight with him, but ultimately they had the faith in the good Lord to know that it was time for God to take him from the pain and take him from the broken body and take him to the great, I think the great afterlife that, as people of faith that we all pray and hope that we get.
From the heart there, Chief, thank you. And can hear the pain, and I mean, our prayers, and I sincerely mean that for Cynthia and the family, because if people like us feel and listen to you, such a sense of loss, can only imagine what it's like for them. And this guy, David Carter, deserved, I think, for even if you didn't know him while he was here, one of the reasons we had such a low crime rate, I always heard. I mean, he was big into creating effective data systems that so you know where the crime was and you could predict how it was going to happen and where and help you clean out the bad guys and make neighborhoods safe. And then he created the same thing at another level at UTPD. So he was a brain and he was a heart. And, you know, I just thought I'm going to share one story. So this is probably 25 years ago. He was, I don't know, working chief of security or something for the Austin Rodeo. And we were over in the carnival area. And he figures out, and there was I'll tell you, it's a 10-year-old boy. And he was selling crack. And he gets the kid. And the kid foul-mouths David Carter like nothing I've ever heard. You can't do jack blank blank to me, you blankety blank mother blanker. You, who do you think? And what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. You can take me to juvie. I'll be home in an hour, and it's not going to. And just, and the guy is effing him. And David didn't see a 10-year-old disrespecting him. He saw a 10-year-old misguided. And I swear to God, man, he just kept talking to that kid, and that kid just kept beating him up. And then the kid started crying like a baby, like a baby. So I'm sorry. He knew what to do with a 10-year-old that I just wanted to see him shoot. I mean, I didn't mean shoot, but, you know, this kid deserves to be whacked. No, he saw a 10-year-old. He wanted to go the right way. And by spending 15 minutes rather than two and just not hauling him off, man, I saw the kid break. That's the David Carter I knew. And I hope everyone will now know him as well. And know that one of the reasons you've been able to take your safety for granted in Austin, Texas, had a lot to do with Chief David Carter. Again, his service is tomorrow, but his visitation this evening with the family at Cookwalden Forest Oaks. That's on William Cannon, 6300 West William Cannon. And the memorial, 10:30 tomorrow at the Episcopal Church, the Good Shepherd, 3201 Windsor Road. Quick break, and we'll be right back. It's 8:42.
Mornings are better on Coke. Austin, Texas country.
This is great.
Yes!
Coke FM.